Now we, brethren, as Isaac was the children of promise, but as then he that was born after the flesh did what?
Persecuted.
Where's end time persecution coming from? Religious folks that have not been born again, who are envious of those that have been born again. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. If you can't see this, I don't know what to tell you. Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Do what? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. And he explained before he began in verse 24, this is an allegory. What's an allegory? A story that is natural, a story that is easily read, that explains a spiritual principle. You got another you in you. Your spirit has been brought back to life. You have been rebirthed. You've been born again. But surrounding you are all the Arabians. All of Ishmael's lineage surrounds your spirit. In where? In your soul. So Jesus says, just like he told the Israelites to conquer the promised land, he tells us in our patience to possess our souls. Who's got your soul? The Ishmaelites. In covenant with the demons. You got to take your soul by force. That's the warfare of the saints. It's a conquest of inner space. You spend all that time on Facebook going back and forth with religious folks who can't even understand what you're saying, and you won't conquer inner space. Why isn't your time spent somewhere with your plate turned over conquering inner space? Get full of the Holy Ghost and do the works of the ministry. The only people that's going to receive Jesus are people who repent and want to hear God's words. That's it. Stop burning your fuel on people who are religious. Religious people are full of the Antichrist. They will hate everything you say. It's nothing worse than for you to get a hold of a truth and try to tell it to a religious person. The Bible says they're going to turn on you and rend you to pieces. Using the Bible. Go and tell them oral sex is perverted. Oral sex is unclean. You're actually ingesting body waste. You're drinking down semen, urine, fecal matter, which is feces, all kinds of toxins, and menstrual blood. That's unclean. Who has to even describe it? Why are you doing this? Because your father's the devil, and the works of your father you'll do. But a religious person that hasn't been born again, still practicing the unclean acts, will tell you the Song of Solomon is about oral sex. The Song of Solomon is a love sonnet about Jesus and his church. That's it. But because you got a filthy, unclean mind, you got to read into it oral sex because you got a perverted, demon-possessed mind. Webster's Dictionary defines sodomy as anal or oral copulation. Webster had enough sense to do that. You know why? Webster was a Christian. His definitions came from a Christian worldview. Listen, you got books, laws on the books right now that you could be prosecuted for oral sodomy right now. They didn't take the time to expunge them yet, but they will. Oral sex was the devil's gateway into homosexuality in the heterosexual realm. It turned you, it flipped you out. And you can always tell when you're talking to one of those oral sex spirits, they begin to defend their filth and do everything that they can to justify it. when you need to repent so God can turn your mind right side up and you can live a normal life again. I saw one guy trying to argue, well, is it right to kiss your wife? You got a flipped out, perverted mind wanting to justify your nasty, dastardly deeds. That's all it is. You need to be born again. He that is born again can hear God's words. And you know what they'll do? They'll make that priceless opinion. Well, if you don't want to do it, that's between you and your wife. No, I'm telling you to stop or you're going to hell. I'm telling you that. That's the way it is. I'm right and you are wrong. I don't like the finality that you speak with. Sorry. That's the way it is. We don't mince words here. We don't twiddle around with the truth. We tell it like it is. This is the way, and you better walk in it. I don't like, you know, it, when he says that, that just goes all through me. I hate that when he says that kind of stuff. You better walk in it. Who do you think you are? I'm the guy telling you, you better stop or you're going to hell. That's who I am. Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. Look at verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Look how the law and sin go hand in hand in Galatians and here. We are not under law, but under grace. The law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. In other words, I'm doing everything I don't want to do. Something is driving me. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Everybody's had an apple out of that bag. I'm trying to stop masturbating. I'm trying to stop doing what I'm doing. I'm trying to stop watching porno. But there's something driving me. There's something compelling me. Now, if I do that, I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. And then I find a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Now remember, he said, evil couches at the door, and you will rule over it. You got to take dominion over this flesh and this sin and this filth. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, in my body, in my flesh, in my soul. It's a fabric in me. There's something in me, in my members. Another law is in me. And it's warring against the law of my mind, which is God's law, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. If I get in the flesh, I will serve the law of sin. So I got to stay where? In the spirit. Then he goes on in chapter 8, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You obey not the flesh, but the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit, that's the New Testament law. Everybody talking about Sabbath days and paying tithes and everything. They ask you, are we under the law? I tell them, yeah. What law? Romans chapter 8, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Why? Because I'm no longer in the flesh. The Bible says, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, the law is not made for a righteous man. I'm in the Spirit. I'm in Christ. I'm accepted in the Beloved. I don't need your law governing me. Why? Because I obey the Spirit, and the Spirit always does and says and directs me to do the things that are of God. I don't need regimented laws because the Spirit is my law. We live in the law of the Spirit. Religious folks without the Holy Ghost cannot do it. They cannot receive it. They cannot understand it, because their minds are yet carnal. Keep reading. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Whose flesh? Jesus' flesh. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind, they care about, they concentrate on, they meditate upon the things of the flesh. But they that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit. You mind the things of the spirit. For to be carnally minded is the definition of death, but to be spiritually minded is life, and it brings you peace. Because the carnal mind, Cain's mind, Ishmael's mind, Esau's mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be, here's the condition, that the spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, the spirit of the Messiah, the spirit of the anointed one, he is none of his. So when folks talk about, well, you got the Holy Ghost when you got saved. Fella, you don't even understand how deep this river flows. You got to be filled with the Spirit. He didn't say be baptized, be filled in Ephesians. Don't be drunk with wine, wherein is it says, but be filled with the Spirit. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Romans 5, verse 8. Romans 5, 8. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now and justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And now, not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Derek Prince used to call that the at-one-ment. The atonement is being made one with Christ. We have been justified in Christ. We've been made one with him. Therefore, God has nothing against me and you. I'm in Christ, Christ in me. That settles my account. It's over for me. I gave you a body. Christ now has lordship over my body. I'm in him. I have no further to take it. I've been saved by grace. I'm in Christ. Now I'm in Christ. Now I obey the dictates of the Spirit. Dictates of the Spirit. It's the obedience of faith, the Bible calls it. I believe, therefore I obey in Christ. In rebellion outside of Christ, I'm no longer a son of God. In Christ, in obedience to Christ, I am a son of God. And your will is the governor. You can get in or you can get out. It's your choice. You can get in and stay in, or you can once get in and get back out again. Your choice. You got to finish this race, good buddy, to win it. Yes, everybody knows in a marathon, it's a 26-mile race. You drop out mile 12, guess what? You didn't cross the finish line. You began the race, though. But I didn't see you cross the finish line. The Peachtree Road Race was ran Friday in Atlanta, 4th of July. I saw you begin. I was there when you took off. I drove down to the end of it. But you didn't come across the line. What happened to you? Round mile 3, I dropped out. I couldn't take it. That's folk running in the flesh. You'll never have enough to finish this race. That's why Jesus said, before you begin to build that house, you better count the cost to see if you have sufficient enough to finish it. Because you can drop out through exhaustion because you're warring in the flesh. Though we walk in the flesh, we don't war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down the first thing, imaginations. and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Buddy, this is internal warfare. We're conquering inner space. And the first thing you got to throw down is your fantasies and lies that have governed your life, your whole life. That's what made you a child of the devil. I'm fantasy stricken. So naturally, when fantasy stricken people hear the truth, guess what? You offend me. You offend me. You're waking me up out of my dreamlike state. I don't want to hear the truth. I walk in a lie. So when this old fella telling me how fine I am and how he loves me and wants to be with me and yeah, he's giving his whole life for me and he wants me, and I tell you, yeah, but he got another girlfriend across town. I don't want to hear that. Shut up. Want to hear that. It's the truth. Come ride with me over there right now. I just saw him go over a house. Went on my way over here. Come, I'll take you to the front door and show you the girl. You get away. They'll hate you for telling them. Because you're messing up my fantasy. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world. Listen to that. One man brought it in. And death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Now you got a lie circulating right now. I'm going to tell you about the next delusion that's coming. Here it is. They're trying to fight Roman Catholicism and say, and they're telling people man wasn't born with original sin. That's a Catholic doctrine. The only sin you have is the sin that you personally commit. That's a damnable lie from hell. You know why you know it's a lie? If that's the truth, you'd have no need to be born again. Why would you need to be born again if the only sin you have is the sin that you commit? You were born with Adam's nature, which is a nature of rebellion and sin. It's working in your members all by itself. That's why you govern a child and you discipline a child, because you're subduing the Adamic nature. No child has to be taught to do wrong. They'll do wrong by nature. You got to govern them. You got to discipline them to make them do right. You got to teach them what? Right from wrong. You know, we got animals on the street tattooed from head to toe. They have no conception of right or wrong. I do what I like. I told my daughter yesterday about wearing clothes. Why can't I just wear what I like? It's my choice. It's my body. It's my look. I said, no, don't work like that. It does not work like that. If you were an animal, you could walk around butt naked. We just went to the beach. You walk down the beach in your bra and panties, and you're absolutely normal. The same woman standing right there in her bra and panties, if I walked into a bedroom with her bra and panties on, would call the police. Yes, she'll walk past you on the beach in her bra and panties and say, hey, how you doing? That's crazy. And they even got the thong bathing suits out there that's less than your bra and panties. But the same woman would cover up if you happen to stumble into a room with her bra and panties on. The same as that woman. Hey, I'm not dressed. Don't come in. But these go right to the beach and put on less than the bra and panties, and everything's lovely. That's what the devil can do to your mind. I told my daughter, I said, listen, you don't have to dress for the world. You have to dress for people. You don't have to dress to be accepted. You don't have to be conscious of anybody out there and what they think about you. She said, well, I can just dress like I want to dress. I said, no. The righteous woman dresses like God wants her to dress. That's the key. I do nothing I want to do. What does the Holy Spirit like? How many people get dressed and ask that question? See, religious folk argue their own taste and what they like. The question is, who seeks after the will of God and does what he likes? See, some things are not even commanded by God. God will just tell you what he likes. He'll tell you, I like that dress right there, put that on. That's my preference. I think I like you in that color. God will do that. He might like you to wear a particular color on a particular day. When you align with the Spirit so close, you get the inspirations and the very fibers of God's feelings on a particular day, at a particular time, in a particular place. But nobody wants to get that close to God. I'm not full of the Holy Ghost. I'm full of the ribs from July 4th. That's what's displacing the Holy Ghost. My carnal appetites feed me, and I'm full of them. So I don't know what God likes. So I give you theories. I give you my opinion. I give you my feelings. I give you what I've been told and taught off of TV. I'm giving you what Oprah said, what President Obama said. I'm giving you all this other junk, what my preacher said, what the pastor said, what the Pope said. I'm giving you what I read in a book. I'm pulling up stuff that Spurgeon said back years ago. And I'm pulling up what John Wesley taught and what Calvin taught and what all these different people taught. I'm giving you Aristotle's dictates. I'm giving you all this stuff. But I don't know what God likes. Not what he commands, not what he wrote in the Bible. What does he like? I don't know him enough to even know what he likes. Because I don't care what he likes. I do as I please. We're liberated. You've got liberty. Then he says what? But don't use your liberty for an occasion of the flesh. The liberated person is like a train on the tracks. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. That's the definition of God's liberty. Obedience to the Spirit. That's why folk don't get close to the truth. That's why they don't get close to God. Because I want to do what I want to do. I am my father's child. I know you are, and your father is the devil because he does what he wants to do. But not as the offense, so also as the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, have abounded unto many. So sin came into the world by one man, and it was imputed to every man. So one man died, and by one man's death, the gift of grace is imparted to every man. It's a one-for-one transaction. Now we get to the meat of the matter. Cain, Abel, Ishmael, Isaac, Esau, Jacob. Now we see here in Romans chapter 5, first Adam, second Adam. Who are these two people? Where do they come from? Look at Luke chapter 3. Ooh, 4:30. I'll hurry up. Man, you try to pull this right here into a short lesson. It's kind of hard. Luke chapter 3. If you trace it back from Jesus, beginning in verse 23, it takes you all the way back through Jesus' genealogy and his family lineage. I mean, some of everybody thrown in here. I think even Rahab the harlot is in here somewhere. So you see all these folk, his lineage going back in time. I mean, he goes all the way back through the Old Testament. Everybody that's in Jesus' family tree. And you get to verse 38, and look what it says. He talks about Canaan, which was the son of Enos. Remember who Enos's daddy was? We just read it. Seth was Enos's daddy. So he says, which was the son of Seth, who was the son, which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, and Adam was the son of who?
God.
Wait a minute, hold it. Woo, woo, woo. Wait, stop. God had two sons? He just said Adam was the son of God. God has two sons. One son was created. The other son was begotten. You said, what's the difference? The created son is not timeless. The begotten son is called forth. A begotten son is one that's called forth. Out of eternity into time. Adam had a day when he began to exist, and he had no existence prior to that. But he's still the son of God. But he's the first one to be what? Huh? To be what?
Created.
Think about it now.
He was created by the Spirit. He came forth by the Spirit.
Two sons. Adam is the first one. Now Jesus is in existence in eternity now. Mm-hmm. So it's something that's different about Jesus and Adam, but Adam is the first one to experience what I'm referring to. What did he experience that Jesus hadn't experienced yet?
Sin and flesh.
Huh?
Bodily form.
Bodily form. He was the first one that was incarnated. He was the first one in the flesh. All right. Jesus came in the flesh secondarily. Cain, then Abel. Ishmael, then Isaac. Esau, then Jacob. Now, the second incarnated son is the deliverer. What is he delivering us from?
That Adamic nature from the first son.
The Adamic nature from the first son. He turns back on your spirit. And the first nature that possessed you envies your spirit. The Bible says it this way. The flesh wars against the spirit. And the spirit wars against the flesh. The two are contrary one to the other. Why? So that you will not do the things that you want to do. The spirit is a governor. It tells your flesh what? No. You will not eat that chocolate cake. I forbid you. I'm fasting and you're not eating any. I stand over you and you're not eating a thing. Go and get a glass of water and shut your mouth. David said what? I chasten my soul with fasting. Denial. If any man come out to me, Jesus said, let him do what first? Are you following Jesus? Not through self-gratification, you're not. Because the first thing you got to do to follow Jesus is deny yourself. I gratify myself. I don't buffet my body, I buffet it. I feed me everything I like. I go where I like. I wear what I like. I do everything that I like. See, all the gospel does is restraining the old man. It's preaching Christ to you. The Bible says in Acts, they cease not to preach Christ. That's the new man. That's the new nature. It's striking against the old Adamic nature. It's a family feud. The son of God was Adam, and the begotten son of God is Jesus. They're both sons of God. One a rebel, one a sinner, one who has a sinner's nature, and Jesus in you has come into you to overcome. that Adamic nature. That's why the Bible says seven times to the seven churches in Revelation, to him that overcometh will I give. Overcome what? Overcome who? That Adamic nature in your soul. You tell God, well, I'm shy. No, Adam is shy. You need to overcome it. I don't speak well, Moses. No, Adam can't speak well. You need to overcome it. I'm not able. No, Adam is not able. You overcome him. Well, I mean, other folk can teach this and they got the boldness. No, Adam is the one that can't teach and doesn't have boldness. You overcome him. Stop telling God negative things about you when you are walking in the Adamic nature. Overcome him. You don't know what you can do and who you are and where you'll go and what you're capable of as long as you let the Adamic nature rule you. It's a family feud. It's an internal family feud. It's a metaphysical feud. It's a supernatural feud. It's flesh and spirit that's feuding. So folk get on the internet and make themselves look so silly with a fleshly exegesis of the Bible, not even understanding the primary dictates of what we're up against, trying to make points, not even understanding what they're talking about. And you make a complete fool of yourself trying to understand spiritual things with what? A carnal mind. And he told you in Romans chapter 8, the very mind itself is God's enemy. Not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you got a good, nice seminary background, though. You're an educated enemy, an educated rebel. Best you can be. John 15. John 15. John 15, verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, I'm sorry, I'm at 14. I'm sorry, 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 sorry. John 15. No, I want John 15. I was reading 14. I meant 15. John 15, he says in verse 18, if the world hate you, know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin, but now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this comes to pass that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, not my law, their law. Because Jesus Christ walks in the law of the Spirit. You got a law because the law is made for an unrighteous man. It is written in their law. He always referred to it as your law, not mine. Because the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless, for adulterers, for fornicators, for those that are perjuring themselves. Every evil person is under the law, but a righteous man doesn't need law. The only reason you got a traffic cop on the highway is for the speeders. I don't need a traffic cop if I drive the speed limit. He says, but this came to pass that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me, and you also shall bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. So you see now, Jesus is sending a Comforter, a Spirit of truth, to testify to the liars, so that they can actually fulfill the iniquity in their hearts, because they hate the truth. John 18, verse 33. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the King of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Their own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What have you done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from here. Pilate therefore said unto him, Thou art a king then. It said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, You say that I am a king. To this end was I born, for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth does what? Heareth my voice. Everyone that is of the truth can hear what I'm telling them. If your dad is the devil and you live on a lie and hypocrisy and fantasy and daydreaming, you cannot hear the voice of Jesus. You religiously, mentally a sin to Christianity, but you are not even born again yet. Because you can't even ingest, digest, and understand, and let alone walk in this. You have nothing to do with it. You're a spectator, unable to be a participator. Matthew 15. Matthew 15. Verse 8, Jesus speaking. This people draw nigh unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines what? The commandments of men. Teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. You honor me with your mouth, but your Adamic fallen heart is far away from me. You don't have anything to do with me. You talk a good game, but you can't live it. If you're out there and you're accessing this message for the first time, or you've been listening for a while, and you're running around telling everybody about it, stop and let Christ be formed in you. Because you're just going to get tired, and it's going to wear you out. And you're going to get tired of those baseball bats going upside your head, and they're going to make you walk away from this and deny it and conform back to what they say is right. Remember all those they's back in John chapter 15? He's referring to the demon-possessed religious zealots, the children of the devil in church that want you to conform to them. Why do you think your mom and dad are so mad at you? Why your relatives hate you? Why people argue with you because you stopped defiling your marriage bed with oral sex? Why have they marginalized you and accused you of being judgmental, holier than thou, self-righteous, so religious? They call your names and spit venom at you all day long, all because you won't bow to the beast and worship the devil like they do. You won't compromise your righteousness. Like I tell my daughter, you got to separate to elevate. He said to come out from amongst them, touch not the unclean thing. Last scripture, Matthew 7, verse 21, and it's a wrap. Matthew 7, verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Not that I once knew you, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work what? Was anything that they named iniquity? They named everything that was good.
That's right.
The Adamic nature. It's a nature. So all those guys running around telling you, hey, sin is only what you do. I'm telling you, sin is a nature. Sin is in the gene pool. It's genetic. Chromosomes, DNA. The gene pool is contaminated. That's where you have to deal with sin. This is why it takes the blood of Jesus Christ to save you. This is why God accepted Abel and rejected Cain. It takes a blood sacrifice to cleanse you from a blood-borne pathogen. He said, by one man, sin entered into the world. And these guys that are teaching folk, you got to practice sin and commit it. They say that Adam is unable to inherit Adam's sin. You don't inherit Adam's acts of sin, but you inherit his sin nature. The apostle was still balloting in Romans chapter 7. It's another law in my members warring against the law of my mind. I got to conquer inner space. I'm turning every heart that I talk to toward inner space. Stop fooling around with folks in the outer court. You're on a march into the Holy of Holies in your spirit. And from your spirit, Christ will walk out, not you. You'll be crucified with him. How do you crucify the old you? You walk from the outer court through the inner court into the Holy of Holies. And with every step of your advancement into the inner you, a part of you will die. Your flesh wants to say, A, you don't let it. You die to that. Every time you restrain that flesh and you cast down the imagination, you cast down whatever it's trying to do, it's going to die a little bit more because you won't let it express itself. I started to say, but I didn't. So you only speak what's in the abundance of your heart. God is showing you what's in your heart by what's coming out of your mouth. You say things to people. You say you call folks names and you curse and all that. That's just your heart. You ain't dead. You have to try to do this. When you're dead to something, there's no reaction to it. None. God can't move where positive or negative flesh is activated. Negative flesh is basically smoking dope, fornicating, and watching in porno. Positive flesh is usually what? Huh? Religious. Positive works are the religious works. You look good in church. You got your hat tilted to the right. You up there shouting and jumping, yet saying amen to everything the preacher says, and still hadn't been born again. Shouting the church down, jumping and squalling, running and popping, still hadn't been born again. You're an usher, you're a deacon, you're a pastor, you're a preacher, now you're an apostle, still hadn't been born again. Church mother, on every board in the church, in the choir, leading the choir, playing the organ, playing the piano, playing the drums, on every membership the church can offer, you're leading prayer on Friday night, you're in every group, still hadn't been born again. You can do all the churchy stuff and never be born again. And guess what? As soon as a Holy Ghost filled person, packed full of power, signs and wonders and the truth walks through that door, you will hate them. While playing church your whole life, you'll despise the real born again person. It's happening to your families right now on live stream. I know it is. You plugged into this. You've been going to church your whole life. You really came to the truth and got for real. Watch how they turned on you. Why? Because for the first time in your life, you became born again. Now you got the audacity to be seeking the Holy Ghost. And they're telling you, we got the Holy Ghost. No, mama. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't have the Holy Ghost. I'm seeking the Holy Ghost, though. And you offend them. Because what your mama just heard was, you're 30 years old. I raised you in church, and I'm 70 years old. And you're telling me what I brought you up in, what I taught you, our pastor and our church is not good enough for you. And they take it how? Personally. Your uncle is a pastor. The whole church goes to your mama's brother's church. I mean, the whole family is a member here. Y'all started the church. Your family is the actual foundation of the church. Everybody came up in this church. As a matter of fact, you've been pegged as the next young preacher boy to inherit the family business. Oh, I'm sorry. I mean the church. And now you got the audacity to come to Jesus Christ and be born again and want the truth. Your mama is a pastor. You found out from 1 Timothy chapter 3 and Titus, your mama can't be a pastor. Everybody goes to your mama's church. All of her sisters, her brothers, your aunties, everybody going to your mama's church. Your daddy's folk go there. Your granddaddy go there. Everybody in the neighborhood love your mama. She's been a good woman her whole life that helped a lot of us around this place. And you got the nerve, the gall to stand there and tell me your mother can't be a pastor. I remember when I was sick, your mama cooked every night for us and brought us food, and your mama been working in this church, working her hands down to the bone for the people around here. For 30 years she's been pastoring this church, and you stand in my face and try to tell me with your sanctified holier than thou self that your mama can't do this. The devil is a liar. You ain't nothing but the devil. Well, 1 Timothy chapter 3 says that the bishop must be the husband of one wife, and my mama can't be the husband of nobody. So she don't qualify according to the Bible. You know what they're going to tell you? I don't give a so-and-so what that so-and-so Bible says. I know Miss Maddie is a good woman, and I'm going to stick with her. I've just described to you all the tumultuous situations and persecution that come upon you within the confines of your family because somebody's in the flesh and somebody's in the spirit. It'll work on the outside of you if you get born again. It'll work on the inside of you if you've been born again. Because everything on the outside, you know what it's talking to? The old Adamic nature wanting you to come back out. Don't go into your spirit. Come back out here with us. Hey, don't go into your spirit and let God talk to you, because you go to your spirit, God's going to meet you there and greet you there and commune with you, and he's going to talk to you. Don't let God talk to you. Watch TV. Watch the sports. We're getting together for a cookout. We're going over here. Hey, the phone will start ringing off the hook. Hey, we getting together this weekend. You want to go down to Hilton Head? Hey, we going down to Jekyll Island. Hey, we going to get... No, I'm getting ready to shut in this weekend. I'm sanctifying myself affairs. I'm 8 days in with God. I'm coming out of the order, out of the outer court, through the inner court, into communion with the Most High. And guess what's going to happen? You're going to begin to get forged into a vessel fit for the master's use. Berkeley didn't taught it years ago. When God has a situation and a problem, he does not enlist what is. He forges himself a whole new cruise, a whole new vessel. That's where Samuel came from. His mama was barren and prayed, so you give me a boy, I'll dedicate him, I'll give him back to you, God. He forged Samuel in his mama's belly, and Hannah birthed Samuel. When he did a deliverer in Egypt, he didn't get one of the standing Israelites that was standing there. He forged him a vessel and called Moses in his mama's belly. He starts over with a whole new cruise, a whole new vessel. When the world needed to be redeemed from sin and the curse of the law and the devil's bondage, he got a hold of a little girl named Mary, and he forged himself a whole new vessel. And he called him out as his only begotten son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to solve the problem. These last end time problems, he's got to forge himself a new vessel in you. You got to be born again. And he starts over from zero and makes of you a new spiritual entity to house himself. What's going to break out within the confines of your own body? A conflict. In your family, a conflict. The workplace, a conflict. Inside of you, you'll find Esau and Jacob wrestling. The Bible says they were wrestling in the belly of Rachel. Wrestling in the belly. Two entities. The Bible says they were not the same manner of person. That's what's in us. It's two of us. It's almost like you're schizophrenic. It's something in you that don't want you to actually go in grace and become totally spiritual. The devil uses the flesh in us, and he uses our atmosphere with fleshly people, trying to get us not to do this. Don't do this. Those two natures, the first Adam, second Adam, both have been defined by the Bible as the Son of God. And it's initiated a family feud. The first son wars against the second son. The flesh wars against the spirit. It's time for us to make up our minds. Either give ourselves over to the flesh or give ourselves over to the spirit. Remember, the fence is electrified. You gotta jump left or jump right. Because God's going to have them a people. He's going to have them a church without spot nor blemish. And the spots of and the blemishes and the wrinkles are the Adamic. Everybody on Facebook arguing and debating all day won't even understand what I'm saying. The Adamic religious mind thinks up information, opinions, theories, arguments, endless strivings and genealogies all day long. But the spiritual man backs away from all of that, and he goes on that excursion through inner space, hunting down Adam to mortify him. And the Bible commands us, wherefore mortify your members on the earth. Kill it off. Slay the Adamic dragon. Allow Christ to live. Inside of all of us, there's an eternal war that's being waged. It's an epic battle of unbelievable proportions. It's a supernatural family feud. We determine who will be the conqueror and who will be the conquered. We got to make up our minds. Heading into August, we're fasting every week leading up to this conference. We're here to end this, to put an end to the agony and the struggle that's been besetting the church. It's time for God to raise up some folks that will obey and do the job. We're here to get rid of every demonic bondage. We're here to mortify the flesh and get Jesus Christ magnified in the church again. He'll do the works. He'll do the exploits. Those that know their God will do exploits. It's time to see it come to pass. We took time today to explain it all. I know it's lengthy, but hey, you got to see it very clearly what you're up against and do what is necessary to be an overcomer, because the ark is setting sail. The only question that remains is, will you be on it? In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for this time of sharing. Thank you for the word of God. Give us the confidence, the boldness, and the ability, God, to overcome this wicked Adamic nature. Everything of the outside of us trying to influence us, trying to cajole us, trying to make us move away from God. All the antagonistic behavior that comes from family members, friends, acquaintances, boyfriends, girlfriends. All this stuff that the dragon spews out of his mouth like a flood to try to drown Christ. The Bible talks about a baby being born in Revelation chapter 11 and 12. It talks about this baby that's born and the dragon spews forth a flood to drown the baby. He does not want Christ to come up to full stature. God, in Jesus' name, finish the work. You say you'll do a quick work on the earth. Yes. Bring Christ to the forefront. Yes. Out of the loins of this dead tomb that we have called a physical body. Out of that tomb, let him resurrect and come forth and do exploits. Mighty signs and wonders. The Bible says, Jesus, you did the worst that no other man ever did. Therefore, they hated you and envied you. It's time for the church to bear the same image, to do mighty works. Let them envy us. Let them hate us. We're here to conquer inner space and then to bring in your harvest for your glory and for your exaltation. In Jesus' name, do it, God. Do it. We need divine intervention, a supernatural occurrence. We need a game changer. We're searching every day when we wake up for a game changer today. Something has to happen today to change the game, to change the dynamics of everything. Today, Christ was born. Christ manifested his sons. That's the game changer. God, in Jesus' name, do it, God. In Jesus' name, do it. Amen. It's going to wrap it up for this week, folks. Thanks for listening in. Run this message past you again later on and just pick it apart. Look at it. Search it out. This thing is a conquest of inner space. Also be reminded, August 22nd through the 24th, we'll be down in Destin, Florida for the conference. August 22nd through 24th, register right now on our website, www.omegaministries.org. Sign up, get in, get down to Destin. All roads lead to Destin, August 22nd through the 24th for Fire on the Beach. We're looking for a Holy Ghost revival. We're not trying to have church services. We're not trying to sing songs. We're not trying to just get together in fellowship. We want to see the Holy Ghost baptize the church in fire and get on with doing a real work for God for real. Enough of this churching around in religion. It's time to see this thing come to pass. We're asking every listener to this message to contribute $100, one good hard time for a hard push. We want to get Dunamis Tabernacle up and operative this year. So we got a base cap established. I gave a little outline on Facebook today about some of the plans for Dunamis Tabernacle. An 8-week training course will be there, where we'll be teaching people over an 8-week span. It's time to go to school for 8 weeks. Take a leave of absence from your job. Ministers from around the world coming in. 8 weeks, we'll be teaching week one, Matthew, week two, Mark, Luke, week three, Luke, week four, John, Luke, week five will be Acts. Week six will be the epistles. Week seven will be Daniel. And week eight will be Revelation. Quick crash course on the Bible and foundations for you to be actually able to teach, preach, and disciple people. We'll also be providing the book Foundation Series by Derek Prince. It's $140 on Amazon. I think it's about 20 paperback and $140 hardcover. Those books will be available to the class members to teach 80 to 100 people at a time to be disciplers. We're here to put people on the street, y'all. We're here to have church like y'all used to. We're here to put an army on the streets. An army on the streets. Disciplers. Folk that know their God and are able to go forth in power to bring in this harvest. We don't have the luxury of time. We got to get on with the Father's business. Also, remember prayer every night, Monday through Saturday night, Saturday, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. That number, 1-805-399-1000, access code 409-367. Support the Dunamis Tabernacle. Support the ministry. We don't ask for tithes and stuff like that. We ask for people that mean business, that want to see Jesus Christ return to help us do whatever's necessary to get it done. We're establishing base camps. This ain't church as usual. These are military camps to war against a metaphysical, supernatural, interdimensional, extraterrestrial being. Last thing, I told you about a dream I had about a week or two ago. In the dream, I was in this giant banquet hall, formal dinner, women in evening gowns, men in tuxedos, about a couple of thousand people sitting at table rounds, fellowshipping, eating a nice dinner, everything beautiful. Man, it was laid out. It was immaculate. Everybody was just enjoying the fellowship. Everybody, Christians, everybody just there talking about the Lord. I went up to the platform behind the microphone and began to say these words. I said, the problem with the church is nobody wants to confront Satan. We are fighting a supernatural, metaphysical, extraterrestrial, interdimensional warfare. I got that much out, and the room began to empty. And we were left with about 15 people out of 2,000 because they did not want to get their hands dirty in a war. I want to have all the trappings of religion. I want to look good. I'm in a formal setting in a tuxedo and an evening gown. It's the church that looks good. But, buddy, when you switch it over to a wartime footing, you got a streamlined few folk that want to engage an enemy and overcome him. We're just looking for the crew that means business. All you folk posting on Facebook and talking that gibberish with each other, you are the kids playing over there in the sand trap, in the little sand pile. Get your shovels and all your little buckets and go and get your little flip-flops and your little t-shirts and go and play in the sand. And just go back and forth with each other all day. Those of you that mean business, get on with conquering inner space. Fast and pray yourself into a coma. Get rid of the old man. Armor up according to Ephesians chapter 6 and engage the enemy. Let the other folk play. You get serious because it's time to come against this devil with everything we've got. We'll see you back here Wednesday night, 7:30. And next week again at 1:30 for another message. Have a good week. Be blessed. And keep yourself in prayer in Jesus' name.